This is AAR Audio, and you're listening to Understanding Freight Rail Economic Regulation. Okay, here's a question. When you drive down the interstate, who pays to build it? You do, as a taxpayer. What about when you land at an airport? Public dollars helped build much of that infrastructure, too. Now think about freight rail. The trains, the tracks, the bridges, signals, and rail yards. Freight railroads largely own that entire network. They build it, maintain it, and invest in it overwhelmingly without relying on taxpayer funding. In fact, every year, America's freight railroads privately invest about $25 billion back into their networks. They train employees, replace track, modernize bridges, purchase new equipment, expand capacity, and deploy new technology. That private investment is one of the things that makes freight rail different from every other major transportation mode. It's also why economic regulation matters. Freight railroads are one of the most heavily regulated industries in America. For safety, they operate under the Federal Railroad Administration. For economic issues, they operate under the Surface Transportation Board, or STB. The STB is there to regulate only when effective competition is limited. Its job is to protect customers while helping ensure the rail system works efficiently. But history shows what happens when economic regulation goes too far. By the 1970s, decades of heavy regulation had left much of the industry in financial trouble. Railroads struggled to earn enough revenue to maintain their infrastructure. It was so bad that trains literally fell off the tracks. Several major railroads even went bankrupt. Congress realized that railroads needed to be able to make the money necessary to invest in their networks. So in 1980, it passed the Staggers Rail Act. The law kept economic oversight in place, but gave railroads more flexibility to compete, negotiate contracts, and reinvest in their networks. The turnaround was kind of mind-blowing. American freight railroads went from an industry going bankrupt to one of the best transportation networks in the world. Today, freight rail is the safest, most fuel-efficient way to move goods over land. Railroad employees earn some of the highest wages in America, and shippers can move way more freight for less money than they did in 1981. For railroads, the lesson is pretty clear. Balanced regulation works. It protects customers while allowing the private investment that keeps the network strong. Another important part of this story is competition. Railroads compete far more than most people realize. They compete with each other. They compete with trucks, with barges, with pipelines. Sometimes they even compete with entirely different products. A power plant may switch from coal delivered by rail to natural gas delivered by pipeline. A manufacturer may choose trucks instead of trains, or a company may build its next facility where another railroad provides service already. Every one of those decisions creates competition, and every one of them puts pressure on railroads to earn customers through price and service. That competition is not slowing down. Trucking companies are investing in automation, electric trucks, and a bunch of other new technologies. Supply chains continue to evolve. Customer expectations continue to rise. Railroads have to keep investing just to stay competitive. So let's put all of this another way. When freight railroads operate under bad regulations, it messes things up for everyone else. Farmers have a harder time getting crops to market. Manufacturers have a harder time getting the raw materials they need. Businesses have a harder time moving products. Supply chains become less efficient, and you, as a consumer, can end up paying more. That's why regulations really need to be guided by evidence and strike the right balance. They have to protect customers, they have to encourage competition, and they have to allow railroads to keep investing in the privately funded network that our American economy depends on.